The emerald ash borer is said to be the most destructive, most costly bug that's ever attacked trees in North America. And Dan Herms is on a mission to stop them. Dan is a professor of entomology at Ohio State University. Dan, when and where did the emerald ash borer first arrive in North America?
The evidence is pretty solid based on research done at Michigan State University by Deb McCullough and her colleagues that it first established in Canton Township between Detroit and Ann Arbor, and it has spread from there to, I think 24 states now, as you mentioned, all the way out to Colorado.
How do we think it arrived?
Nobody knows that for sure, but it almost certainly arrived via infested wood that's used in international commerce, like pallets, solid wood packing, something like that, that was constructed out of infested ash trees in Asia. And so they hitchhike in commerce and establish in their new home.
Tell us about this bug. How does it kill, and what kind of impact has it had?
Emerald ash borer is especially devastating because it feeds on the vascular tissue of the tree, which is the tissue that moves water and nutrients from the roots to the leaves and from the leaves to the roots. And so that tree is very vulnerable to that kind of damage. And these insects just overwhelm the tree, destroy that tissue, and the tree dies very quickly after it starts showing symptoms of infestation.
And has it had the same effect in China where this bug originated?
So the trees that are native to China are highly resistant to EAB. And so it's not a huge problem in China. There it behaves more like our native wood borers here do, where they attack the sick and the weak and kill the stress trees. However, in an interesting observation, North American ash trees had been widely planted in China. And it turns out, looking back at reports, that emerald ash borer just devastated those North American trees that were planted in China. And that could have been a red flag had, you know, we've been paying attention.
And how long did it take from the time this emerald ash borer arrived in the United States, apparently in Canton, Michigan, how long did it take for us to start paying attention?
Well, it was discovered in 2002. Deb McCullough and Nate Siegert's study suggests that it was established at least 10 years prior to that. And indeed, we found some trees in Kensington Metro Park, not too far from there, that were killed as early as 1994 using the same tree ring reconstruction. You know, most invasive species are present for a while at low levels before their population kind of explodes and they become noticed. But this was noticed in 2001. You know, there were reports in the Detroit Free Press and other outlets describing this mysterious malady of ash trees. And my father-in-law lives in Detroit. He had been sending me those articles, but it wasn't determined what the causal agent was until 2002.
And here we have it. The culprit is the emerald ash borer. Any idea how many trees, Dan, this thing's killed?
No idea. The last statistical estimate was done in, I think, 2007, estimated 50 million dead ash trees, and now it's spread to 24 states. The number of dead trees has increased exponentially, and it's, as you mentioned in your introduction, untold millions.
Mm-mm. I'm talking with entomology professor Dan Herms from Ohio State University, who, along with Michigan State University professor of entomology and forestry Deb McCullough, has co-authored a piece about the emerald ash borer. And in that article, Dan, you guys write that emerald ash borers are the most costly biological invasion by an exotic forest insect to date. That's pretty heavy duty. How costly?
Well, it's cost, you know, tens of millions of dollars. That was a study done by Deb McCullough and her colleagues, including economists. And I don't actually know the exact numbers. I've seen another study that shows that in Ohio, it's estimated that it will ultimately cost between $4 and $7 billion once it's all said and done. And this is primarily due to the death and replacement of ash trees in urban environments where they have to be removed because they're hazard trees after they die. But there's also economic impacts on the nursery industry, on the forest products and timber industry, and so it's wide-ranging. The economic impact is very wide-ranging. And it's just getting started because if you look at it, this is a continental-scale problem. It's going to continue to spread. While it's already in 24 states, most of those states still have very low populations. They're not experiencing yet the kind of impact that Michigan is, that Ohio, that Indiana, and Illinois kind of at that core area. So this is just really is still just getting underway, and it's already the most expensive invasive insect pest that has ever been introduced to North America.
Well, Dan, what can science offer in terms of either ways to save remaining ash trees and make them more resistant, or in somehow engineering this emerald ash borer in such a way that it can't hurt the trees?
Well, that's an interesting question. We're conducting research with colleagues with the USDA Forest Service to try to develop resistant trees through breeding. And as I mentioned before, we found that it's not a pest in Asia, and to a large degree that's because the Asian trees are naturally resistant. And so we're working to understand why the Asian trees are resistant, what the underlying genes are, and to see if they can be hybridized with North American trees and bred much in the same way that they have successfully done with chestnut and chestnut blight and Dutch elm disease and American elms, where you hybridize with resistant species back cross and get a tree that's largely North American genome, but with the resistance genes from Asia. The other approach is we're trying to find trees that have survived where EAB has killed 99 or more than 99% of the trees, as is the case in Southeast Michigan, and then determine if those trees are naturally resistant or if they're just lucky. And if they're naturally resistant, they can be used as a source of germplasm for breeding native trees, which would be ideal. Another approach that's being taken to try to slow the spread is the use of biological control. You know, a balance of nature exists in areas where an insect has evolved, in this case China for EAB. And the USDA has searched for natural enemies, specifically parasitic wasps, tiny little wasps that are harmless to humans. They don't sting, but they lay their eggs on emerald ash borer or in emerald ash borer eggs and provide a natural control. And so those have been released in North America with the hope that they could build up to high enough populations to slow the spread. That hasn't happened yet, but that might be something that works out more in the future. As far as targeting the insect itself, research is underway to determine how the insect is able to colonize ash, which has natural defenses, and overcome those defenses so effectively. And they can detoxify these defensive compounds. Once those mechanisms are understood, they can be targeted through novel molecular biology techniques. For example, you can silence RNA in the insect that would then eliminate the gene expression that produces those enzymes that detoxify the defense.
Now, there we go. We're talking really, really, you know, high-tech kind of science engineering.
Right. And so that's obviously, you know, down the road. But that those are the kind of research projects that are underway.
As science searches for a way to beat back the emerald ash borer, what can individuals do to either help preserve ash trees and to especially stop the spread of the ash borer? Is this really something that authorities and governmental bodies have to handle?
The answer is yes to both. Individuals can do things and regulatory agencies. So regulatory agencies are trying to slow the spread by preventing artificial spread of emerald ash borer. Emerald ash borer is going to continue to spread on its own. But the reason that it's gotten to Colorado and to Georgia from Canton Township in just 12 years is not because it's flown there on its own. It's because it's been moved by humans through things like infested firewood. And so people can prevent that artificial long-distance rapid movement by not moving firewood, for example. Don't take firewood out of the local environment when you go camping. Buy the local firewood and burn it there. Now, if people have individual trees that they highly value, that they want to protect, that can be done very effectively with systemic insecticides. So you can treat an ash tree with a systemic insecticide and protect it, even under intense pest pressure we've shown in our research, and even really big trees. We've shown that you can protect trees that we're working with are up to 50 inches in diameter, which is about as big an ash tree as you're going to find in a, you know, a residential area. And so, you know, it's a little pricey, perhaps, depending on the size of the tree. Larger trees, obviously more expensive, but they can be protected quite effectively. And a number of people and municipalities are choosing to protect these trees because it's cost effective. The cost of treating the trees is less than the economic value that those trees provide.
quite mind-boggling to think of the effect of a half-an-inch bug named the emerald ash borer. Dan Herms, professor of entomology at Ohio State University. Really insightful. You gave us a lot to think about, and we'll certainly watch that firewood with a very, very close eye. Dan, thanks so much for talking with us on Stateside.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.